Welcome to Create Beauty Every Day, a podcast about art, life, and creativity. I'm Deanne Fitzpatrick, and this podcast is brought to you by hookingrugs.com. Be sure to go over to my website and find out all about rug hooking, creativity, and art. Create beauty every day. Hi, welcome to Create Beauty Every Day, the podcast brought to you by hookingrugs.com. And I'm Deanne Fitzpatrick. I'm the owner and the main rug hooker at hookingrugs.com. And I'm here today with someone that has been a part of my rug hooking studio for many, many years. I would say maybe, I'm just guessing, maybe 15, but she'll clarify that with us. And her name is Meryl Cook. And Meryl is a fiber artist. She's the host of Renegade Conversations, where she's just recently started that. It's a YouTube podcast. And she owns Engagement by Design. She's also written two books about healing and rug hooking. And she's been part of a co-op. She sells her work. And rug hooking has sort of, I would say rug hooking is kind of taking over your life.
I would agree. I would agree. In fact, I ran out this morning because I had, I'm working on a background and I ran short of a yarn and I thought, well, I could do something else, but no, I really need to get out and get that yarn and so I can keep going on my project. So
you got to have the right thing, you know, and it's interesting sometimes when we limit our palettes or we compromise, sometimes really good things happen, but sometimes they just satisfy us, right?
I know. And for me, this is a color I've never hooked with before. It's a seafoam green. And so I didn't try dyeing it because I know it's a hard color to dye for me anyway. And so I've been using some of the Briggs and Little yarns and other things. And
Meryl,
and I can't stop in the middle of the project.
No, you can't. If you were to describe your work, how would you describe it, your actual rug hooking? How would you describe your work?
Well, I would say it's contemporary in that it's not the traditional hook in straight lines kind of rug hooking. I use a lot of color, a lot of bold colors in general. I mainly follow the chakra color palette, which is about 8 main colors, although I am branching out from that. And I think my hooking, I'm getting best known for, I have a Wild Woman series.
Yes,
and it's all about women basically doing the inner work and becoming more of who they're meant to be. So like the one I'm working on right now is called Wild Woman Spreads Her Wings, you know, just, and her arms are actually wings in this picture. And I have, I'm also leaning towards more multi-media. So I've been felting fabrics and then sewing them on the linen and then hooking around them. And so for this one in particular, the bottom is, the rocks are all felted, felted fabric. And then she has a great hat that I felted and sewed onto the linen. So,
go ahead. Were we going to say something else?
Well, I was just going to say that, I mean, my work is, I was really inspired by your work.
Thank you.
Like not hooking always in straight lines. You taught me that. And to really just give the suggestion of things and not solid outlines and that kind of thing. And then I've just sort of taken it a little further in that many of my backgrounds have, I've raised certain aspects. So if I'm using a nice fluffy yarn, I bring it up. And so there's a lot of dimension, I guess, to my hooking as well.
Yeah. And when you say the chakra colors tend to be very strong, right?
Really pure colors more.
Yes.
Although I do use shades at times, but they kind of go from the base. They go from red, orange, yellow, and then pink and green is for the heart chakra, and then sort of a turquoise blue for the throat, and then indigo for the between the eyebrows. And then on top of the head is the crown chakra, which is purple or violet. So. Yeah, I tend to use those, especially in my Wild Women.
Yeah. So tell me about your trajectory because when I met you, you had a totally different career and you were doing something different. So tell us about that and how that led to this, how everything happened for you to become a full-time rug hooker.
So I think we met about 16 years ago. I started rug hooking, and And very early on, you encouraged me to do my own designs and not to follow patterns. And I really started to play with color at that point. But then in 2015, so about 8 years ago, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And at the same time, I took a chakra color art journaling class, and which introduced me to the idea of chakra colors. And at the time that we met, I was a homeopath. I'd practiced for about 20 years. And then when I got sick, I decided to leave my career and figure out what I was going to do next. So really, rug hooking and journaling was what was my holding space for myself. So basically, I had no idea what I was going to be doing, so I started hooking and writing every day. And then that kind of led to my first book, which was One Loop at a Time, a story of rug hooking, healing, and creativity. Because really, it was the creativity that left space for ideas, new ideas to come through for me to figure out my next steps. And one thing has led to another, and I have been teaching rug hooking, and now I mainly teach journaling for design. That's kind of my signature course these days. That because I my all my designs come from my journal, and I do sketch and everything in my journal, and so and I also work with people to help them get unblocked on a creative level, because I think when we're unblocked on a creative level, everything else flows from there, right? If we're feeling blocked, we're having trouble maybe making decisions, other aspects of our life are not going well.
Is that what
And
blocked
so,
is? Is that what you think blocked is, or is that what the meaning of blocked is the, having
that's what I think it.
decisions? That's interesting, Meryl.
Yeah, I think when you're blocked, when you're not able to make decisions, when you don't have new ideas, when you don't know how to move forward, all that variation. And I guess I kind of found my sweet spot in that helping people get unblocked using creativity helps them to get unblocked in other areas of their life. And so it's been really fun. And more recently, I've been working mainly with women in midlife and beyond, I guess because that's my generation. But also because I think when we're in midlife, we're in a sort of a transition, right? Like our bodies have changed, but also our lives have usually changed, right? Our career, we're established, maybe our family's grown, and we have not as many responsibilities. But I think there's also something about creativity in midlife that is unique. I think it's not just because we have more time. I almost think it's I was thinking about this morning, that our bodies are no longer producing babies and all the things that go with that. And so there's some sort of energy that we have, that our body has more energy for creativity, I think, as we get to this midlife stage.
And you're discovering
So
in yourself and in the women that you work with, would you say?
absolutely.
And do you work one-on-one with individuals? How does that
I
practice
do.
happen?
Well, it's really fun. People reach out to me, and I'll either do single sessions or three sessions at a time. And basically, we just look at where are they, and I use writing and journaling exercises and sketching exercises, and just get them working on. We set little goals each week, and then they move on. So it's not a therapy.
No, it's
You know,
not
I'm
therapy.
clear with people, it's
No.
not therapy,
It's not therapy.
but it can help people to figure out how to move forward. So I'm really enjoying that aspect.
So it's helping people how to move forward in their creative work and their creative life.
Exactly.
And you do it on an individual basis. And do you do it live or do you do it via Zoom or how do you do
We
it?
do it over Zoom. Most of my clients are in the US these days, but and it's really nice. I think Zoom has opened up so many
It
possibilities
has.
for us artists, hasn't it?
It has. And to communicate with each other and to share thoughts and ideas. I recently went to a Zoom conference and I just loved it. I loved being able to connect, but also being able not to have to travel, to do it. And it is good. I do miss some of the immediacy that happens when we are together in person. That's natural.
I
But
agree.
we find that other ways, you know, we can still get that. One does not preclude the other, really.
Exactly. Yeah. No, and I think for me, being able to meet artists all over the place has been amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with Zoom, it's been, I've been connected with people all over the place, and it's been really wonderful.
Meryl, yeah. What do you think was the, what I'm trying to ask is, what was the deepest or the strongest connection that you have ever made to your creativity personally?
I think it's the realization that making is part of my life, right? That making, I was talking with a group of women recently about how having my art practice, my creative practice is a luxury, but it's also something that's essential. Like, I really feel like when I get away from making, so say if I'm too busy or whatever, that I don't do so well. You know, I start to fall apart in other areas. Whereas when I basically
I know
spend
exactly
time
what you're saying. So go ahead, tell us more, because we need
when
to
I,
hear
when
this.
I hook exactly. But when I hook every day and I write every day, then things move along lovely. And when I get away from that, somehow I don't thrive. So I feel like, you know, my creativity is it's a necessity for me. Like, it's a really essential part of my being. And I think I never realized that before.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that's true for many people. And I think sometimes, well, I think one of the things about creativity is it connects you with the spirit, your spirit, the spirit, you know, just art has a lot of spirit in it, and it helps us connect with that.
Yeah.
It slows us down. It deepens us. It makes us consider in a way that maybe perhaps we aren't considering when we're busy checking email, when we're running to the grocery store. Do you know what I mean? Like, when we're filling our lives with daily tasks, which of course we all have daily tasks, right? We all have daily tasks, but sometimes I feel like I spend way too much time on the daily tasks and not enough time meandering or pondering.
I agree. I agree. Just having the time to think and sit and think about, okay, what color am I going to do next? Or which piece of yarn do I want to pull from the basket to put in this rug? You know, is it's not just about making the rug, right? It's about taking the time for yourself. But I think also something that my work is very much so, and I think yours as well, is that it's about expressing what's inside ourselves. And I think prior to my breast cancer, I made art that was about something beautiful that I saw or a color that I liked or whatever. But when I started to make art about what the feelings were inside me and what my needs were inside and all that kind of stuff, it had this whole other power. You know, it's just, I feel like both for me and also when people see the work, you know, the stories behind the work and why we create them is like very powerful.
Mm. It really is, you know, it really, I always say, well, beauty is enough. I always say that. But when it comes to my making, I'm pursuing beauty. But beauty, well, it's that whole truth and beauty thing, right? Truth is beauty. Like, I can't get there without getting at the truth. And that doesn't mean that what I show or what I make is representational. It just means that for me to make it really beautiful, I've got to get at the underlayer of things.
Yeah.
I have to lift some sheets of paper to
I agree. And well, that recent rug that you were offering a kit for that you really love, the one about home. I mean, that to me has so much meaning behind that rug, right? I'm sorry, I forget the name of it at the moment.
It's what was called, it is called Wonder at Silent Cove. And we just did it for a month. I just didn't want that to go forever. I wanted to, if someone wanted it, we kept having requests and we let it go. But yeah, I agree that rug had, that rug was very, very powerful, you know?
Yeah.
And it said all kinds of different things to all kinds of different people.
Well, and I think that's the wonder, the fabulous part about art that comes from your heart is that it has this ability to touch other people, and maybe not in the way that, that I intended or you intended, but everybody gets something from it. And I think there is some sort of powerful energy there.
Yeah, there is. There definitely is. Now, I'm really curious about your decision to call your podcast Renegade Conversations.
Well, it was really fun because with my Creating Space community, I was playing with the term renegade. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that, that every time I mentioned the word renegade, everybody's faces just lit up. You know, it's kind of that fun, that adventurous spirit.
Right.
And so I wanted to do something that would be fun, but also that would engage other women who are doing maybe outrageous, maybe brave, maybe interesting things. And I called it a conversation because I didn't want it just to be an interview. I really wanted to have a deep conversation with women that I admired that agreed to come on and talk with me. And so it's been lovely that way. And I mean, some people think renegade means a lawbreaker or, you know, a person who breaks the law. But I think there's also another meaning that renegades are people who defy the status quo, who stand up or speak out or go against the grain when it feels like the right thing to do. So they question rules. So I mean, you and I are kind of renegade rug hookers in that we took off from the traditional, you know, straight lines, fine shading kind of school of rug hooking and made our own thing, right? So
I find it interesting because a true renegade is, you know, can be a difficult problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can be. But yet be. The spirit of a renegade is something that we all seek a little bit. I think we all, especially women in midlife, we all want, many of us want to identify with that a little bit. Yet we don't want, you know, we don't want a true renegade, you know, like it's a
some of us do.
Some of us do. That's right. Yeah, that's right. Some of us do. But it's an interesting balance, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What for you, how do you balance that? Like what does it mean for you, the balancing of?
Well, I think for me as a renegade, I feel like I've always questioned the status quo. I've always not necessarily taken a surface explanation, you know, and run with it. I've always wanted to know the underlying reasons or the why can't we do it this way. I've never wanted to just follow a rule for a rule's sake. Mm-hmm. But I also, especially now as a midlife woman, I feel that I have a responsibility to speak up and speak out. You know, it's kind of like, it's like getting back to my teenage self where I was a bit of a rebel at that time as well. But it's about speaking out for justice and speaking out for, you know, particularly women's rights, but just people's rights in general. You know, the whole housing issue in Halifax just destroys me to see that people are living in tents, right? Mm-hmm. So it's about, I guess I've always been different, right? Like I had the comment from one of my yearbooks in high school was to the most different girl I know. You know? So I've always been a bit of a renegade. And so for me, it's almost like a badge of honor at this age to be doing things a little bit differently and to be continuing to work beyond 65, where people think everybody should stop, and to be trying to make interesting conversations through my art and through my, now my podcast.
What do you want for yourself now? Like what do you want come from your work, from your podcast, from your...
Well, for my work, I really want it to continue to move people and to make art that has relevance. And I want to make art that has fun. You know, I think there's a lot of fun. And there's a lot of sadness in the world and distress in the world right now. And so I think we need hopeful, fun, uplifting kinds of art. And with the conversations as well, I guess I'm looking to build a tribe of other women who are interested in looking inside themselves and interested in becoming more, if that's what they want, or in supporting and encouraging other women. Because I think that's the other part of Renegade Conversations, is trying to build this tribe of women who are kind of stepping out and speaking up and doing very cool, unusual things and being able to support one another and inspire other women who maybe listen to the conversations, who say, hey, you know, maybe I could do this. Because one of the questions that I ask every guest is, what advice do you have for other women who might want to embrace a little bit of their renegade self or their inner wild woman? And the answers are wonderful. Like, and every guest has different answers. It's great. Like Lisa LaFlamme said, you had to do five things that scare yourself a year, like not jumping off a bridge, but things that are, you know, feel brave. And she had lots of other advice.
That's good advice, because they don't have to be big things. Like I've just started doing some things, just some modifications in my business, and they do scare me, you know, like they're just small things about how we handle email or how, you know, they're tiny things, but they are an adjustment. And so it doesn't mean that, you're right, you have to jump off a bridge to be a renegade, to push yourself to, you know what I mean? It doesn't mean that you have to go skydiving. There are all kinds of little ways that we can push ourselves. So thank you to Lisa.
Exactly.
That's a great idea. Now, if someone were to ask you that question, what would your answer be?
If I had advice?
If you had advice for one.
I would say just get started. You know, just don't wait to be perfect. Don't wait to have it all right. For me, it's just about take one small step and then take another small step. And then just keep taking steps, really, is you know, don't wait to have it all together. Like for my Renegade Conversations, I really knew nothing about having a webcast or a podcast. And even the first episode, when it was broadcast, I had so many little technical things that I had to learn very quickly. But I didn't let that stop me from starting it.
I would say that's true for this podcast too. Like, I had no idea how to list it on iTunes. I had no idea how to, you know, there was about 10 things. I had no idea. And you know, the amazing thing is the answers are so available to us right now. You can go on, take a quick course. Yeah. You can just ask the question. I remember my son saying to me, "Mom, just ask Google and you'll get an answer." Yeah. You know, it might not be the one you're looking for, but it will lead you somewhere else.
Well, the other thing I found really wonderful about starting this podcast was I just asked friends for advice and I asked people for introductions to other renegade women. I just called on people that I knew that might have some expertise, and I got a lot of good answers and a lot of help.
And that's a wonderful thing about having a podcast, is it allows you to call on people for conversations that you might not otherwise be able to. And, you know, sometimes I'll call on people and I don't get an answer to my email, or, you know, that happens all the time, but we still call upon them and ask them. And I feel like it's like people listen to this podcast, so I feel like it's a reasonable opportunity, but not everybody wants it. Not everybody needs it. Some people have a mass market already, but what it does is it allows me to have, for me, I host a podcast for two reasons. So rug hookers will have something to listen to. And so that I can have interesting conversations with people I admire. Right.
And me too.
Yeah. That's why, you know, so it's really, it's a beautiful thing, because how do we, you know, how do we just call somebody up without having a reason? I'm sure we can, but it doesn't, it's just easier, you know?
It is easier. And I found, you know, the women that I've interviewed so far, I've had some wonderful conversations, and they're not people that, for the most part, that I would normally have in my circle. So it's been a great opportunity just to have a little conversation and maybe send them a little book after or something like that. You know, it's really lovely.
Oh, so, good for you. I love your title. I love that you're brave enough to do it. And I think your work is, you know, you've been brave with your work and just pushing forward and working with individuals and working with your community. And, you know,
thank you.
And your newsletter is good. I read your newsletter. I don't always get everything read, but I always have a peek, and you always have thoughtful, interesting ideas in there.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Yeah, I've worked hard at that newsletter. It's sometimes, you know, as when you have a newsletter, you think, does anybody ever read it? And then every now and then I'll get a reply from you or someone else that really makes me feel like, oh yeah, people do read it.
So people read it. There's definitely people who read it, and there's definitely people who listen. And it's a service. Like, it's a service to our communities, I think, to the rug hooking community and to the creative community. It's something we provide, you know? And it's also a service to ourselves, because I don't know about you, but I've learned a lot from talking to people on my podcast. I'm learning lots today. And I've learned a lot from writing my Sunday letters, the newsletter that we send out. You know, it brings me back, just like hooking brings me back to myself. And for you, that's a kind of journaling. And for you, your work is very associated with your journaling, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. And normally for my newsletters, I have a new blog post as well. And I find having to organize your thoughts and just write a blog post is really helpful. Right. And I'm sure you find that about your Sunday letters too.
I do, for sure. So journaling feeds
just kind of sometimes when we're writing, things come out.
Go ahead. No, when you're writing.
Yeah. Well, sometimes when we're writing, things will come out on the page that we didn't know we thought, right? Or I find that a lot.
Yes, I do too.
So it's useful.
I find the same thing when I'm hooking. A lot of times I'm making one rug, and after the rug is hung, I'm seeing something else, and there's another story there. And so it's the same thing. I think that's the creative work, is that when we go deep enough, and you don't have to go, you know, you don't have to dig a mine.
You
just have to stop and think and listen to your heart, to, you know, where your mind's rolling. That sometimes it takes me places I didn't expect. And I learn things about myself and about the world and my relationship to it. And I think you're using your work for this to do the same thing.
I think so too. And I think that if we just keep ourselves busy all the time and don't have time for our creative practice, then we miss out on all those lovely opportunities and connections and thoughts we don't even know we're thinking because we don't have time to think about them. So
I think this conversation has been a lot about your work, but it's also about the importance and the recommendation for people to be still with their work, you know, to go there and make it and to not be afraid to take the next step in their work.
I agree. Whether
it's designing a rug or choosing a new color or however it comes out, or maybe you want to make a podcast, or maybe, you know, whatever.
I know, exactly. And for me, I've really based the last 8 years on what next in terms of what would be fun. You know, what could I do that would be fun? And what would feel good? You know,
feel good.
What would make my heart sing? And because when I've taken other things on, because I felt like maybe they were a good idea, but I didn't feel awesome, they don't normally take off, you know, but when I create or when I do work that feels like, oh, wouldn't that be fun? Somehow it opens doors and things start to fall into place. So,
And you never know, like what, you know, I've learned in my work, you know, once I made a show and I had a little show and I put it up in my studio, and then I liked the work so much, I couldn't sell any of it and I didn't have any place to hang it. And eventually it went to the Art Gallery of Nova Scotia, and that's where it hangs. And And you just never know what you're doing. Like you can't plan for the thing that you're doing to be big. You just plan to do it and do it with love and intention and excitement, like you say.
Yes.
And then just do it and see what happens. Yeah. Right.
And see what goes. Exactly.
Just see what goes, you know, and just enjoy it. Cause I so many things come from seemingly nowhere or without a plan or, you know, there's no strategy. There's just doing, making and showing up and doing the work.
And I think that's really important. It's that showing up and doing the work. I think something you taught me many years ago was, you know, even if I just show up for 10 minutes a day at my frame, just doing it. And very early on, I realized I couldn't put my work away. I had to leave it out all the time so that it was very accessible.
Yeah.
And I really followed that. And it's, I don't have the tidiest living room, dining room. And that's okay.
Yeah.
Because my work and my yarns and everything are all over the place. But, that's all right. And I'm more likely to sit down and do a little bit if it's just right there.
I hooked for 10 minutes right before we got on. It was 11:50 when we went on, and I thought, I'm just going to hook for 10 minutes, and it goes a long time. And the originator that I know of, I mean, 10 minutes a day is a thing across all kinds of disciplines, but I know in rug hooking, it was April DeConnick, who is a great artist from Texas.
Oh yeah.
And she was the first person that I remember saying 10 minutes a day, you know?
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And the woman who taught me how to hook, Marion Kennedy, she was the woman who said to me, just do the work. Like she didn't say it the way we say do the work now. She said, like, finish the rug, you know, finish the rug.
Yeah, let's
and
do it.
You know, it's just good. Sometimes the simplest advice is just really takes you right where you need to go.
Exactly. Oh, that's wonderful. And April's done some really interesting stuff with her work.
Yes. She's having a ball. So that's a good person to give a follow if you're looking on Instagram, is April DeConnick Art. Yeah.
Yeah.
And how do people
Maybe
find you?
She's a person who wants to come on Renegade Conversations.
I think you should. I was just thinking the same thing. She'd be a great guest here. So yes, I think you should. She'd be great because her work is transforming, really, I think, right now. Yes. I see a lot of changes in her work. So
I do too. It's more sculptural and it's fabulous and lots of color. Well, she's always used lots of color.
Lots of color.
I've always been drawn to.
She's a master with color. So awesome. That's April DeConnick Art, and she's on Instagram if you want to find her. But Meryl, how do people find you if they want to find you?
I'm Meryl Cook on Instagram.
Yep.
And I'm on YouTube as Meryl Cook as well, my YouTube channel. And my website is merylcook.ca. So pretty simple.
So that's easy. And thank you for being on with us today. And thanks for sharing your work. And you can go on and see the vibrancy of Meryl's work on her website. And I think it's worth the trip if you got a few minutes to go check that out. And please do too support the show and go to hookingrugs.com and check out our website and find out about the inspiration sessions, the Mystery Art Project, and all the wonderful events and ideas that we have right there in our kits and patterns. So thank you very much, Meryl, for today. It was a beautiful conversation. And
thanks for having me. It's always great to chat with you, Deanne. So it was really nice.
So I'm going to wrap it up, but thank you so much. And I'll be, how do I stop the recording? I haven't done one for a while. I made a mistake. Oh. So we're good. Everything is good.
Okay, good.
All right.
Recorded my first podcast with Lisa Leflam. I forgot to press record.
Aww.
We got all the way through. So we had to do it all over again.
And she was gracious.
She was
gracious.
Oh, she was
God love her.
Yeah. Nice.
Great. That was a great, great interview. Thank you. Yeah. One second
nice
now.
And I'll thanks.
Talk to everybody later. See you, everybody.
Thank you for listening to Create Beauty Every Day. The podcast was brought to you by HookingRugs.com. Be sure to go over to HookingRugs.com and learn all about how you can create beauty every day.